Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. Welcome to the most dramatic podcast ever. I am Chris Harrison, joined once again by Lauren Zima from her home office in Austin, Texas. Joining me on the show today, Dancing with the Stars celeb, dancing magnet, Cheryl Burke, has stepped away from the show. Obviously, we know that, but there is so much more to talk to Cheryl about. I've known her for so many years, and there's so much more to talk about than dancing. And I look forward to doing that. We're going to do it in just a little bit. But first, LZ, we got to put, I don't think we're going to put a pin in it because this thing's going to continue on. But the Vanderpump Rules scandal has, since we talked about it just a couple of days ago, has taken several more big key steps. It has gotten physical. It has gotten litigious.
Well, what you're referring to is, yes, that Rachel filed a restraining order against a cast member, against Sheena, alleging that Sheena punched her or somehow gave her a black eye. And what that is apparently from, or at least whatever the incident was that in that moment, that was the moment Sheena found out. They were together, the two of them, after taping Watch What Happens Live in New York, where they're promoting the show. And Raquel, according to all the different accounts and reports, goes to take a phone call. The phone call's from Ariana. Ariana's calling her saying, what, you know, something like, what the hell is this video that I found? Sheena comes outside to check on Raquel. And what alarms me the most about this is that apparently Raquel sort of casually said to Sheena, oh, I'm on the phone with Ariana about, because I've been having an affair with Tom. And that's when Sheena, who knows, some kind of incident happened, according to Raquel. So who knows? I got to tell you, look, I don't condone physical violence ever, but I don't think Raquel should have filed the restraining order. I don't think there's a real, it's completely my opinion, but I don't think there's a real threat of any future harm to her.
Yeah,
I think it makes her look bad.
I mean, I don't disagree. I found it interesting when Raquel released her statement after she had been on Watch What Happens Live, and she said, beyond my own actions, I have been physically assaulted, lost friendships, received death threats, and hate emails. Most of that I was like, okay, I understand. But I was like, wait, physically assaulted? That's not something you just slip in a big statement like that. So I was interested if more was going to come out about it. And obviously now it has, that she was shoved against a wall, suffered a head injury, and then was punched. And you can see, because she filed a picture of herself with the court filing for the restraining order.
Well, I know, but some people are like, it's faked, it's dramatic, who knows? I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. Again, I'm not condoning physical violence. It's interesting to me, though, that you, because I think I am so much more entrenched in it than you, that like you think that's kind of an interesting part of it, because it's all, so much has happened that I'm like, the physical violence, I'm not
well,
that
physical
captivated
by. Is that takes it to another level. You know, it's not on the show. This was something that really did happen. And I agree. Did she need to file a restraining order? She'd already pulled herself away and left.
I think, unfortunately, filing the restraining order makes her look like petty, like mixed up. Like, it's just going to make everybody hate her more at this point.
Well, and I guess allegedly, is it Shayna?
Sheena.
Sheena said or has stated that she doesn't regret it. And if she hurts my friend again, I'll do it again. That was one. That's what she said in her filing. That's why Raquel filed, is that was the kind of common sentiment out there. And so just very,
I just don't believe it. I don't know that what's Sheena going to do? Like, show up to her house and beat her up? I mean, I'm just telling you my opinion. I don't think, to me, basically, here's what's happened since we've all left off, everybody. I mean, maybe everyone is now following everything to up to the minute like I am. But since we last did this episode on Tuesday, Tom released a statement, mm-hmm. a second statement where he actually addresses Ariana, though he addressed himself much more. Raquel has released a statement, which I thought was a well-written statement for what it is. I mean, obviously she had a PR team helping her with it. I've read from Raquel's statement. It made me think she's distanced herself from Tom. It made me think she's second guessing, because all the reports were saying they're in love and they're going to try to be right. together. And there was a report they'd kissed in a scene on camera. But to me, it made it sound like she's taken a pause there.
Well, and Lisa Vanderpump was on with Andy Cohen the other night, and she did say they have, you know, taped some scenes and they were together. And so maybe in the moment, because she hadn't stepped away, maybe they did. Maybe they kissed and they were going to play this as, you know, Tom and Raquel were moving on. But now that she's pulled herself away, hopefully she will come to her senses. And hopefully maybe she has changed her mind.
See, I'm right. To me, that's the smart thing there, is Raquel. And I'm not like, I don't know. I've changed my mind on all this a lot. I've been going back and forth a lot. I'm exhausted and stressed out by it all, because I'm so lost on the why still. Like, as I find out, as more and more comes out about it, and as I actually start to realize, because I didn't watch last season of Vanderpump Rules, I think I'm doing a little more research and realizing that Raquel and Ariana weren't just friends. They were very close friends. And I can't find the why here. I can't find, what was Tom and Raquel's plan? What were they going to do?
Well, that brings me, because I was going to ask you the question, this Lisa Vanderpump theory. This was her theory that she talked about on the show, is that Tom and Raquel were going to wait until after this reunion.
That was going to be the only thing I could think
of. Get to the reunion, mm-hmm. break up, and then they had months to kind of let
him and Ariana break up.
Yeah, he and Ariana would break mm-hmm. up. He and Raquel could be together, announce it, get past that reunion, and then they have a few months before they start taping again. Things calm down. They come back on the next season, and Tom and Raquel are now a thing, and Ariana, they have broken up. So that was Lisa Vanderpump's theory.
I also thought that could be the only maybe plan they had. And that's why, I guess that's why they were keeping it. I don't know why though they'd keep it secret through this season. Like, just break up sooner and break up before this season started filming. I don't know. I think I more so mean I'm lost on the why of why Raquel would be entrenching herself even closer with Ariana, would be, I don't know. Everybody loves
it. Is it guilt? Maybe, you know, she felt so guilty about what she was doing behind her back that, like, I'm just going to try and overly love her. I don't know. That's a weird, twisted thing to say, but I don't know. You're right. The putting the why on this.
Like, maybe Tom was telling her things about Ariana that, you know, maybe Tom is painting Ariana as, like, because he keeps talking about her mental health. Maybe he was painting her as unstable and all that. And so Raquel was thinking, oh, I'm in love with him and we really can't tell her yet. And I've got to be there for her as a friend. I don't know. I think also at this point, mm-hmm. this is my opinion. I think Tom's a narcissist. From everything I've seen, from what we've seen of him over the years, I think Tom's a narcissist. I think he's incredibly immature. I won't be surprised if more cheating comes out, that he cheated with more than Raquel and Ariana. I just think he thinks he's smarter than everyone and he thought he could get away with this. Raquel, I can't, I still don't know what Raquel is. I don't like what it's so painful now to watch. I just watched this week's episode and to watch her hang out with Ariana.
Yeah.
It's so painful.
Everything is so cringe now. Mm-hmm. Everything they do is so cringe.
Do you think they're going to go back and re-edit episodes now, the episodes they had in the can as a producer?
Yeah. What you would do is you would go back and look at your stock footage, the stuff that probably got left on the cutting room floor, and you would bring that relationship and those scenes into more prominence. You would definitely lay into that. What we would do often is, you know, on any show, on any reality show, if you're trying to beat a deadline, you start pre-editing pretty early on your basic storylines. But if you see something resonating with your audience, if you see something that really pops in the ratings, clearly you're going to go now and heavily edit, re-edit. You will see much more of Ariana, Raquel, and Tom now.
Here's another question. A lot of people think that Raquel is going to try to avoid the reunion. The reunion tapes in 2 weeks. They had not taped the reunion yet. I think she should go to the reunion.
I do too.
Why?
I think she should own it.
Yeah, you have to face it.
If she comes in and doesn't play the victim and doesn't, and look, she's going to take a beating. So you're going to have to.
And she should.
You're going to mentally have to prepare yourself, Raquel, for what's going to come. Take it. Own it. Just try and defuse it by owning everything you did. When I did reunion shows, the worst thing people would do is they would come back and they wouldn't own who they were. It was just so difficult for somebody to admit they were wrong and to take that stance. And so they would fight it and it just made it worse. You're pouring gasoline on a fire. So I think she could come out of this, not unscathed, but I think she could come out of it successful and maybe heal some of these scars. Tom, I don't think so. I think he's a dead man walking.
Well, I mean, you look at his statement too, and the things that he said, like I wish things had happened in a different order. Tom, the only person controlling the order that all this happened in was you. You were the person. So there's no wishing it had happened in a different order. It happened this way because you didn't own up to it. I think he's defensive. I mean, there are reports that he didn't, as we said, like filming the scenes because he was painted in a negative light. That is a trait of narcissism. They've got to be the good person, the good guy.
Yeah.
And I think he...
And it's on everybody else if you're not.
Mm-hmm. And I think he will come to that reunion very defensive and it will only be better for Raquel. I mean, I'm just strategizing here. I hope it's genuine, but I think it would only be better for her to come to the reunion to not be defensive, to own it completely, to fall on her knees and apologize. And that, you know, you want to talk about that. I mean, we've talked about this before, like... When people cheat, the level of guilt they have matters, right? And according to, I listened to some of Kristen Doty, who's a former cast member who's still friends with everybody's podcast, and she said she was there when Tom was with Ariana after all this. She said he walked in and they're all there and he goes, "Oh, I know, everybody hates me, I'm the bad guy." And that he wasn't apologetic to Ariana, that he was just kind of gaslighting her. And I'm like, God, that just, that sounds like narcissism to me.
Right.
You don't want everybody to think you're the bad guy. You're not grasping the gravity of it. You should be groveling, apologizing. I am so sorry I did this to you, if you really loved this person. So I don't think Tom really loved Ariana. Not in the end here anyway. I don't know if he's capable of healthy love.
I was just about to say the same thing. I don't think he's capable of it. I think he sounds like, was he 41? Mm-hmm. The 41-year-old who...
Like, you are who you are.
I'm in a rock band in LA. I'm like, come on, dude.
Like, we can all evolve and change, but I think who you are, you are who you are at 40. I guess that's why I brought up Raquel's age, and God, again, I am not justifying what she did. What she did was horrible.
Right, she's not a child. Let me say
that. No, she's not a child. And what she did to her friend was horrible. I think she maybe still has time to look back and regret all this if she can mentally get herself to the place she needs to be. Because also, like, wow, what a choice to, I don't know what she was thinking or if she was thinking, because doing this meant she was going to lose this group of incredible women she had as her best friends, Katie and she wasn't great friends with Katie, but she was going to lose this group, Sheena and Ariana and Katie and Lala, and she was growing those relationships. And she, no matter what, when this Tom thing came out, like, you were going to lose that group of women, and a great group of women in your life is more important than almost anything.
A bad narcissistic wannabe rock star?
God.
You don't think that's worth throwing your life away for?
I mean,
he seems like a real winner.
I know. Look, was her statement about how she's like addicted? She mentioned things like she's addicted to love and she gets fulfillment from that. Was that written with the help of a PR team? Yes. But I don't think it was all wrong.
It still felt like there was some self-awareness. I thought there was a lot of good self-awareness and I thought I rated
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm going to challenge you. I don't know if she has the self-awareness yet. I think the PR team is helping her with, is telling her what to write.
Maybe.
But I mean, I think whoever wrote that statement had some accuracy in their assessment of Raquel. Yeah. Look at already on this season, she's like made out with or going to be hooking up with like four guys from the show. I think she's getting her fulfillment and her confidence in all the wrong
places. The attention,
places.
Yeah. It's which is easy to slip into that in this reality world.
And what she did to her friend was awful. But what Tom did to his partner is awful. And the worst part is he doesn't seem to have any real remorse.
Well,
I'm all emotional about this now.
This isn't.
I need a break.
This isn't over. Obviously, this scandal will roll on because now we're obviously going to watch it play out on Vanderpump Rules. And as Lauren just alluded to, you watch each episode now and it's cringeworthy because you just will see things that make your skin crawl when you see them together. And this will all lead us up to that just huge reunion. And again, I am so jealous.
You are.
To not be hosting that show. Andy, if you need help, if you get, you know, laryngitis, call me. I will be there in a heartbeat.
So I do want to say, Ariana, I can't imagine. Well, I mean, I can't imagine, but the pain she's going through right now, they're together almost a decade. She finds out he's sleeping with her friend, that it's been going on. Some people now speculating it was going on even before last summer. So painful, so shocking to the system. But I do want to say, anybody who's been cheated on, it's like, Ariana, I promise you, things will get better from here. It is only bigger and better from here. You push through this pain and you're going to look back and be so grateful, actually, that you were able to get out of this when you did. You are going to be onto a much better relationship. And when you're in that better relationship, you're going to think, oh gosh, I'm so glad I don't have to put up with Tom's shit anymore. I think I'm glad she's free of this bullshit.
Rule number one, this too shall pass. Wow, you are full team Ariana. Ariana, if you need another pep talk, call LZ. She is here for you.
There is no other team.
Speaking of this team, thank you, LZ. I appreciate you jumping in and putting a pin in this. But we will continue to follow it. And we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Dancing with the Stars. Cheryl Burke is going to join me. We have a lot to talk about.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Welcome back to the most dramatic podcast ever. I'm Chris Harrison. She danced her way into our hearts for over 17 years on Dancing with the Stars. But Cheryl Burke is so much more than just a star from that long-running show on ABC. And Cheryl joins me now. First of all, it's so good to see you again. It has been way too long, my friend.
I know. I mean, how many years has it been?
Well, actually, I had to actually do research. It was half-ass internet research where I went back. I'm like, when did dancing start? Because I remember vividly being in New York. We were shooting Bachelor, Bachelorette. And I remember one of the executives saying, there's going to be this show where celebrities dance. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? But that was like 2005, right?
Yeah. So I started season two. So that was back in 2006.
Yeah, so 2006. So a good 17-year
run. Well, no, because me and you did, we did Miss USA together or something.
Yeah, America, Miss America.
America, yes.
Yeah, you were a judge on Miss America as well.
Yes, so we hung out there in Vegas.
Our paths have crossed many times. Yeah. That's why we were in Vegas, and that's why we went out that night and danced our butts off.
That was when I was drinking.
And we will get to all that as well. Hey, so Lauren and I were just talking about this Vanderpump Rules affair and this scandal. Have you kept up with that? Do you watch it at all? Do you know about it?
Honestly, I don't until I had a conversation with one of your producers last night, and then I listened to your last episode, and so now I'm caught up.
It's pretty bonkers.
Yeah, actually, now that I actually know maybe the gist of it, I mean, is it though?
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's not that bonkers. It's just normal life. And when you put normal life on TV, it seems crazy because that's what I didn't want to talk to you about Vanderpump. I want to talk to you about our lives and your life because you and I have both been through something very similar, and that is public relationships, public breakups, public divorces, public everything. From this Vanderpump thing, you know, an affair is not the craziest thing. Affairs happen all the time, but when it's public, it's very difficult. And you went through this.
Yeah, but but we sign up for it in a way. I mean, for me, at least, being on Dancing with This, or was still weird.
Still hard to say.
Yeah, very hard. Because it's only been a few months, really. But yes, when I was on Dancing with the Stars, it is not necessarily, I don't like think that's a reality show like Vanderpump, for example, because it's more of like the art form, right? Like my job as a teacher is just to get this person or celebrity how to dance, right? So it's like they're not looking for that type of stuff. But yes, with the attention and being on primetime television for so many years, it's bound to happen for sure.
Well, especially, you know, someone like you who was on so long. Several of you, there was like a small group of you, I would say, that became celebrities, and you were bigger than the celebrities on Dancing with the Stars. So that, I don't know where you draw that line, or if it's case by case of, okay, how much do I deserve to know about Cheryl Burke?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, as a viewer, you mean?
Yeah. Well, I just mean, you know, you're on this show and you're right. It's not a docu-reality series. It was a dancing show. Yet, you know, you became public fodder and consumption and people wanted to know. And obviously one begets the other. And that means we love you and we wanted to know, right? I mean, if nobody cared about you, then no one would care about your relationship either. So that popularity came with a price for you.
Yeah. I mean, it all started like for me, I think, you know, I never signed up to be famous. I guess it was the case for me back in 2006 and still is. Like, I came here purely for the art form of dance, and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time and in the right situation. Right. So I didn't come here to I didn't even ask to audition. Like, they auditioned me and I didn't even know if I could even do it. To be quite honest, I was like 20, 21. I just had turned professional. didn't know if I could teach anyway. And then I danced with Drew Lachey, and this was at the height of Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson's divorce. And so I, again, just fell into this, and I had so much anxiety. I think that's when my anxiety really, and that's when my
really
drinking
peaked.
Really, yeah, the booze helped during that time, supposedly, but probably not, but
then,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Then came addiction and trying to cover up,
yes,
mask that pain.
Exactly.
The Vanderpump Rules thing, though, was interesting because of the affair and how public and how tawdry it was. Have you ever been cheated on?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I said, you know, Lauren and I said on our podcast, if it's not 100%, it's 90 to 90% of people.
I mean, or you're just completely not wanting to know, right?
Good point.
Yeah, you're just completely in denial.
But being cheated on is something that... It is a wound that cuts you deep because it's a different kind of betrayal. And this involved a friend as well. But that takes it to another level, doesn't it?
I mean, look, I know you were kind of not defending her, but yes, she's young, but she ain't that young.
You're right. You were right. And yeah,
she's not like she's 19. You know what I mean? Like, she's almost 30 years old. So like, look, at the end of the day, you either have morals and values that you follow or you don't. You know, and regardless whether you're a narcissist or not, or whatever happened, you just have to take accountability over what happened. Because with accountability, I find that forgiveness can happen, but not if you just continue to not hold yourself accountable or blame. That is the hard part. It's like, you know, I think with any relationship I was in when there was infidelity involved, if that person could have just come to the plate, there could have been a solution, you know.
And that takes me to your relationship, because you just went through a very public.
Everyone thinks I've only dated one person, but nope, there's a bunch of people I've dated, but not like that. You know what I mean?
Actually, I'm one of those people that know that you have dated other people.
Yeah, thank you.
But you've been married. You were married with, you know, to Matthew Lawrence, and got divorced. It was a very public divorce, and it's something you guys kind of kept quiet. But he's now gone on his podcast and has been very vocal about how the relationship tested him and how, quote, I ended up getting involved with people that I was trying to please and it never freaking works. And
I agree with him.
There was another thing that he said I thought was very interesting. You can love someone to death and you can be in a toxic relationship and it can spiral out of control and ruin both of your lives. Obviously referring to your relationship. Did you think this was a toxic relationship?
Look, I mean, out of etiquette, like, I like to speak for myself only, because I am not going to speak for other people. But look, again, it goes back to accountability. It's like, if that's what it was for him, that's fine. But that doesn't mean it was like that for me in any scenario. Now, as far as toxic, absolutely. There were moments of it. Absolutely. But like, the whole pleasing, by the way, this is the first time I'm hearing these quotes, so I haven't Googled myself recently. I've decided to stop doing that, actually. But, you know, it's interesting because it's all a choice. Life is a choice.
Yeah.
And you can either choose to people please, but that has nothing to do with the other person. You know, I think that no matter what, honesty and transparency and accountability will always get you further, no matter what.
You haven't Googled yourself, but now that he has this podcast, he's been speaking out. And
that's good.
Here's the thing. When the average Joe or Jane goes through a divorce, goes through a breakup, especially when there's no kids involved, you go your separate ways. You're not going to hear about it. You're not going to see headlines. You know, Matthew's continuing to make headlines because he's speaking about it on his podcast. And so is that a kind of different level of just toughness and just difficulty of already handling a situation that's hard emotionally?
I mean, what you don't know doesn't hurt you, hence the not Googling myself.
good point.
And you saying this, normally I'd be like, ooh, let me dig more. Like, I have a lot on my plate. This has been a huge year of transitioning for me. And the biggest breakup for me was with the show, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And that continues for me to have, I have a heavy heart, you know, and it's really sad because I feel like that marriage was definitely a longer one.
Yeah, and more intimate.
and it was, because I grew up on that show. So look, it is what it is. He's going to say what he says. Yeah. And, you know, I wish him well. I really do wish him well.
He's, I assume, you know, he's dating TLC singer Chili.
I'm a huge fan, by the way.
You're a TLC fan. Really?
Oh my God. I had it on my like 6-disc spinner back in the 90s. Remember those?
Absolutely. You knew you were rich when you had the 5-disc changer in your car.
My parents were, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So he's dating Chili now, and that relationship he's been gushing quite a bit about. And he spoke about wanting to have kids. And plan, you know, that's the plan as soon as possible. Is that something you guys were never into? Did you ever broach that subject? Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Like, he comes from a huge family, and I think that, you know, especially his mom, like, there were definitely, you know, conversations, but I always had said, you know, as long as I have to shove my body in a dance costume, me getting or thinking about being pregnant probably isn't something I can talk about at the moment. But yes, there were discussions of like possibly freezing my eggs. But then, you know, I also, you know, and I'm working through it, but I don't plan on suffering from body dysmorphia my whole life. But like, yes, with dance in general, you know, that comes into play. And then being outed years ago for being too fat for TV, you know, so it's like, there's all of this trauma. And I hope, I really, truly hope he can actually, you know, have a kid with Chili. I think that's amazing, because I think he's wanted that, you know?
So at least you would still go to the TLC reunion concerts.
No, I'm not going to a concert, but I will still sing along to the song No Scrubs. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough. That's that. You know what? We meet in the middle. That's fair enough. You know, I don't want to get too much into the divorce, but one thing I am very happy about, you got custody of Isabella, your bulldog.
And I
make light of something that was pretty silly when you guys were actually battling over this. This was your dog.
That was silly. Yes,
that was silly. But the fact that you actually got custody of your dog, I was really happy about that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a win-win for me. You know, like, this dog, I feel bad for her. She has just felt it all. Like, you know, dogs can actually feel like my energy, like in general, humans' energy, right? So Isabella has been my rock. As crazy as that sounds, if you would have told me this 10 years ago that a dog, not a human being, would have been there for me more than an actual human being, I would have been like, you're crazy. Hey, but no, she has. It's is actually therapeutic.
It's called unconditional love, right? We all need that.
And it's also called they don't talk back. So it's even better.
That's the definition of unconditional love, is they just don't talk back.
Right.
So you mentioned that you were 21, 22 years old when you started Dancing with the Stars. That was your longest relationship. And it was, you know, when you're in the arts, when you're doing a show like you and I both did, it is personal. It's something that it's a piece of your soul. And you did that, you know, from the time you were 21 to the time you were 38 years old. That is such a impactful time in your life, to go from your early 20s to almost 40 years old. When you look back, like, how much have you changed? Can you quantify what a different woman you are?
First of all, you should have heard my very first audition tape. I didn't know what my favorite color was. I had really zero identity whatsoever, coming from the competitive world, which is very much like a man's world. And the woman follows the man. And it's like that in real life, unfortunately, as well, sometimes, you know. And so I guess I was really quiet and shy. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, the abuse I suffered from as a child or what it was, but regardless, dance was always my way to movement in my body was my way to express myself, not through words. So when I did this audition, they came to Harlem, where I was living at the time, and they asked me to spin, do a dance move. This was when my hair was really short. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I only looked good in movement. So I just continued to move. And I was like, my name is Cheryl Burke. And they're like, name one thing about you. And I'm like, and I'm a tiger on the dance floor, some crazy shit. And my voice was so high, I sounded like a little mouse. I had a partial English accent. Don't know why. I think because my dance coach was English. And coming here, long story short, it has helped. I have to give credit to dancing. It's kind of like they throw you in the pool of sharks. You got to do interviews. You got to speak for yourself. You got to speak up. Also, I had just turned pro, so I didn't have a lot of teaching experience under my belt. So it was really a huge challenge, but it made me grow up as an individual and as an independent person instead of living in someone else's shadow quickly. And I'm so grateful for the show for that, you know?
So you'd look back and fondly remember your time there. And it meant a lot to you.
Totally. Listen, of course, there are little things like any relationship, always. Right? Yeah. There's always going to be this, but the bigger picture that I will never forget and be grateful for the show being a part of my life for such a long time. Like it really has helped like make me the woman I am today, I guess, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, by the way, I said the same thing about The Bachelor. Yeah. You know, I didn't want it to end the way it did, but still I can't help but be grateful because it was such a part of my adult life. And I was a little older when I started, but went through about the same time frame as you. And so, yeah, you can't spend that much time on something.
How do you feel after all of that? Like, what was your initial reaction? I guess, like, how long did it hurt for? I guess.
Well, there's a lot of layers to that. Much like your divorce, but yes. it was, you know, in the beginning there was the shock because it was a Band-Aid being ripped off. It wasn't something maybe like you did where you thought about this for quite some time and you're like, you know what, dancing, this is taking a toll on me and my life, and it's time to step away. While I had thought about that. Mm-hmm. I hadn't put those wheels in motion yet. So for it to all happen so quickly and in a tumultuous way, it was a lot. It was a lot to handle, which is why I kind of stepped away from everything and didn't do a podcast and didn't do any interviews, did nothing, just got healthy, as you know.
How long was that process?
About a year and a half. I mean, I stepped away. I could have come back sooner, but honestly, I started enjoying it. I started really enjoying my life again. And have you gotten to that point yet? I mean, obviously you said stepping away from dancing was maybe the toughest decision of your life. Have you come to terms with it? And do you feel good about it?
You know, yes, it's very empowering, but it's also sad. You know, like I can't help but, you know, it doesn't not cross my mind that, oh, maybe I should have just stuck it out another five seasons. Like physically, I could have done it, Chris. But mentally, you know, it's like I'm on a path right now where I am so into my mental health and I'm really into sharing my resources, right? I'm no professional, but I can share my experiences with people. And that to me, that I can't explain the feeling when I can actually affect somebody else's life in a way other than me barking at them, telling them to do a cha-cha lockstep, you know, like that, you know, it fills me up. It's hard to explain, but you probably understand, and anyone listening, right?
I do,
like when you know, like any relationship. And it's like, I just knew that, you know, either it was going to be my call or it was going to be theirs. Right. So it's like, this was just the time. It was time. I'm 38. I've done 26 seasons.
Yeah.
Like, what else do I need to prove? Like, I don't know what else to do other than like, I've already proved it from the first two seasons. If we were to look at it, like from the material side of things, however, you know, it's like, it's time to move on. Like, I want to be able to challenge myself. I hate feeling stagnant with whatever I do. I hate it.
That two great points. First of all, it's very rare that an athlete, and I do consider you guys athletes, and you are competing at the highest level of what you do. And so to go out on top is a hard thing to do because like you said, you absolutely could have milked it and you could have made it through another 5 years on your popularity, but would you have been your best? Would it have been the Cheryl Burke we all knew and loved? And to have the self-awareness to say no and to step away, that says a lot about you. It takes a lot.
Oh, you know, the last time I felt like this was moving from Harlem to Los Angeles. So I know that there is, you know, the path is greener, but I have to be patient. I'm very impatient.
Yeah.
But I definitely need to just like, and also, by the way, I need to stop defining myself by my outside sources. Like I need to stop thinking that my job is who Cheryl Burke is or my friends. You know, it's like, I'm really trying to do that work and it's not easy.
Well, it's not easy when you are so popular and you're on, you know, a huge hit show and you are famous for that. It's easy to get wrapped up in that identity that you are Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my God. People are like, you made the worst mistake ever. And I'm like, this is why I don't scroll on freaking social media.
One thing I have not heard you speak of, and now that you're gone, maybe you can be brutally honest about this.
Okay. I'm like, okay.
Tom Bergeron.
I love him.
I do too. He, a friend and a wonderful host. How did the dynamic change? And what was different when they fired Tom and Aaron Andrews?
Look, this is no dig at Tyra because I think Tyra is an amazing woman. But honestly, the heart of the show, it was gone. I can't even say it better than that because You know, a lot of people don't know this, but Tom would like host mid-season parties for us. And it was like cast and crew only. We would have dress rehearsal. He'd come on Sundays during camera blocking. And though he wasn't probably getting paid for it, like he was still wanting to interact with everybody. I call him my dance dad, you know, and he was there from the beginning. And he just made light of everything. And it was a smart casting decision on, you know, whoever was the showrunner or whoever decided to book Tom, because Tom made ballroom not so, because it's so serious, right? Yeah. Like we take our freaking, this is blood, sweat, and tears, like for what a nasty mirror ball trophy. But with Tom, it was like, okay, yeah, we can make light of everything, you know? Yeah. And it's like, it's actually, he's so genuine and he's so authentic. And there was a comfort level. Like, I don't know if I'm speaking more for the older demographic, but yeah, like at the end of the day, when you see, it's like if you were to recast the cast of Friends, like you can't do it.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, I think what he did brilliantly was walk that line. Yes. Yeah. He threw in the funny, you know, jabs every now and then, but everything was out of love. And he also knew how to lean into the emotional moments when there were those. He paid attention and he listened, and he's just a great host on that level.
Absolutely. It wasn't about him, right? Right.
Well, and that's rule number one of hosting. It's not about you. You are not the star. And that's something that's lost by a lot of hosts. And you know, obviously the ratings changed, and you can see the numbers changed dramatically after he and Aaron left.
We're not on ABC anymore.
Right.
Remember that?
So yeah, you can just look at the scoreboard, but I was just curious from the inside. I mean, that's what I felt as a host on a show across the network from him. And he and I had a very special relationship for a couple of reasons that we always just got along really well. We're very different.
Very highly of you. He's fond of you very much.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. We, from our early days, he was one of the first that kind of reached out to me when I took over Miss America, which he had just hosted. Something that could have been an awkward moment. He broke the ice and immediately was like, "Hey man, congratulations. I'm happy for you. Let me know if there's anything I can do." There was another moment you probably don't know about. It was with your former partner, Drew Lachey. Because of a medical thing that in his family, Bergeron was maybe not going to make it back to host the show for the first time ever. So they called me on a Sunday and said, "Hey, Harrison, can you come in? We just need you to be on standby. You might be hosting Dancing with the Stars tomorrow night."
If this is when his father died, passed away, right?
It had to do with one of his kids or something like that. And he ended up making it in, but I went to the table read and I was ready to go. And just ever since then, we just had this, and they asked me to keep that quiet and never tell that story while he was still
interesting.
Going.
Interesting.
And so we never spoke of it, but we always had that kind of mutual respect for each other.
He also told me about the Emmys. Like, was it the Emmys when all the hosts of primetime? Oh my God. That was hysterical. He forgets he tells me, so I just let him tell me again. But like, it's so funny. That moment was great.
Yeah, there was one year when all the reality show hosts hosted the Emmys, and it was pretty critically panned. It didn't go great.
He's still traumatized, I think. Yeah.
but thanks for opening up about that. I was just curious what the thought was, because again, a little selfish as the host, I noticed these things, and it was a big change at the time. And I think I think if he ever talked about it too, it hurt him to have that taken away.
Chris, yes. It's like, this show is so special. The relationships you make, the lifelong friends you make, there's some seasons that are, the camaraderie's a lot better than others. There's also some showrunners that are better than others, to be just blunt, right?
No, 100%.
Like, at the end of the day, that is where it's coming from, right? Like if they're, you have to, in any business, you have to develop a personal relationship with these people, or else you're seeing how cold it is at times. And then you're seeing how warm and how we love to hang out with each other. It's about the environment we work in. And a lot of that has to do with the people that, you know,
the executives. It is funny. Yeah. You think though, you are on the inside and you're there on the daily and you're like, how can they not see it? Like, this seems so obvious to me that this works, this doesn't. How are we messing this up? But they do. And
they
want to come in, they want to put their fingerprint on it. I get it. It's
ego. Yeah. It's all ego. And then it's selfish. Like when we first started this show, we were like, no one cared if you hung out with producer. We were like partying in the green room on the third floor, like smoking cigarettes, like trashing it. And it's like when we did the very first Dancing with the Stars tour, it was insanity, the popularity of this show, right? And how we got treated like rock stars. And then it becomes normal, the new normal.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a machine. And then it becomes numbers, 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 numbers that you're forgetting about. First of all, what the show was, which was a ballroom show. Let's just start there. You know, like the dancing has changed.
But it's about the humanity of it though. And you know, it was never about the dancing.
But that's the reason why ballroom works. It's not a so you think you can dance. Right. Like we're not going to be doing hip hop with our partner because there's no communication through the body. Ballroom works because of the fact that two people have to work together, not side by side.
Yeah. And it was like, a story. It was a relationship and watching that.
Yes.
And speaking of relationships, you are single now, and this takes me
very much. No, I'm not dating, Chris. I'm not dating.
Well, this takes me back to a rumor when you and I were in Las Vegas and we talked at length about this, about you being the bachelorette.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Absolutely. I even went into that meeting with, I forgot his name, Michael.
So you did. You had meetings about being the bachelorette and talking about
Jimmy Kimmel talked about it on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
So that was real. That was legit.
Yeah. I don't know why the hell it didn't work, especially when during my drinking days. I would have been great.
Yeah, you would have been. After the few days I spent with you in Vegas, I think maybe I said, that's not the best idea for her right now.
Yeah, probably not. It's probably a blessing in disguise. So thank you. That's what really happened.
But you are single and you are not dating.
Well, I'm dating myself, which is a great thing for the moment, because I don't think I've ever actually enjoyed my own company.
Okay.
I am not even interested at the moment still. And I know that I had a podcast with iHeart about it. No wonder it probably didn't work, because I'm just genuinely not into it at the moment. I'm really not.
So you're not open to if you bumped into somebody at a coffee shop and they said, hey,
listen. Yes, but I'm not so desperate to get on a dating app. Like, you know, if that happens, so be it. But that would mean I'd have to leave this house, right? So I don't like leaving this house.
But if I knew
I'm not going to find Mr. Joe Schmo in this closet, unfortunately.
But
closet number one.
But if I knew a great guy and I sent him your way, saying there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I have to do some, get it like a background check and all that first.
Of course.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Would you get married again?
Absolutely. I love it.
So that's in the cards.
Yeah. I mean, kids, I don't know. I don't mind even contemplating like that option of adopting. Like I never thought that, even as a little girl, I never was a huge, like, I want 12 kids and coming out of me naturally. Like, yeah. I'm not really, I don't need that. You know, for me, a kid is a kid, like whether you're adopted or not, like there's so much love regardless.
It seems like you're in a really healthy place right now, though, if you're able to even talk about, yeah, marriage is a thing. And, maybe I do want kids down the road and I want that life. And now without Dancing with the Stars, you're able to work on that now.
Well, yeah, but I'm also not retired from work. Like, I'm a workaholic, as everyone knows.
How do you spend your days? What are you doing?
I am honestly shooting so much social media content. Just call me an influencer.
Okay.
Forget the last 20-something seasons of Dancing with the Stars. I'm starting over from scratch.
And now you're officially, now you officially are a Bachelorette contestant. You're just an influencer.
Right. I mean, I was going to say, if there's a Bachelorette sober version, I just don't think it would work without the alcohol, unfortunately. So, but you know what show I'm really into is Love is Blind. I think they should do a celebrity version. I think that would be fascinating.
We can make that work. Right? You mentioned your sobriety. How long have you been sober? I know you have, it's fallen off the wagon and we've broken it, but you are back. How long have you been sober now?
Almost 5 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I love that for you. And
I know if I could get through this whole like year of not taking a sip, I feel pretty confident in myself. So thank you.
I was going to ask if that has been a struggle.
Oh my God. Every day, Chris, every day.
Yeah. No, it's
any addict will tell you that every single day, like whether it just comes out of, you know, nowhere or if it's because of what you're going through, but like, this is why it's so vital for me to really just date myself, because if I'm not conscious, I could be on a date and like, you know, depending on my mood and someone's offering me a drink, I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know?
No, I get it. And I mean, I've been intimately surrounded by that in my life. So I understand that every day you are making that choice, and I'm so proud of you for that.
Thanks, Chris.
Cause I know when you go through tumultuous times, like you said, it's easy. It's so easy to slip.
Yeah, it really is.
And I do remember, you know, I mean, and not to kind of bring up an old wound, but as much as I loved and adored you and you were such a good friend, back in the day, I remember being in Vegas and those were dark times. It's like you would go from 0 to 1,000. It's like, oh, here's Cheryl. And then it's like, oh, this is the girl I don't recognize.
Yes,
and it would happen quickly. Yeah.
And I think I also was a functioning drunk. So it was like, that's the scariest, you know, was when when you're not drinking, people are like, are you okay? Cause I'm not as like social or, you know, it is, it's a different type of, I guess, scary when you're an addict, because I also, if you were to look on paper, maybe I'm the most successful. I was saying this when I did Red Table Talk, like maybe I was the most successful when I was drinking, which is my rock bottom, you guys, because like a rock bottom doesn't necessarily mean being found in a, you know, alleyway and then being, you know, heading to rehab. Like, no, this is a rock bottom for me as well, because you're like, well, then my lazy brain, which sometimes happens, it'll like go in there. My unconscious brain will be like, oh, you know what? If you were the most successful, then you might as well start drinking again.
You pulled it off. You can do it again.
Right, right.
Was there ever a time that you were drinking, drunk, or on anything while you were working on Dancing with the Stars?
I was always, I used Dancing with the Stars like a sauna. So it was like, I drank hardcore, then I would sweat it out. My partners would guess what I was drinking the night before, then I would do it again. This is the reason why, and no joking here aside, right? But like 7 days a week I was out. And this was before Uber. That was scary.
Yeah. Well, by the grace of God, you are here.
Yes.
And you're thriving and you're in such a good place. And I'm just happy to see the way you're thriving right now and you're growing. You've always been an amazing person, but I'm glad to see you figuring that out now.
Thank you. And congratulations on this podcast. This is amazing.
It's been awesome. It's been really fun. It has been a great platform to have to kind of speak in this way and then to kind of connect with some of my friends and bring some of these personal stories out like you. It's like, it's not just Cheryl Burke from Dancing. This is a woman I've known for quite some time. Our paths have crossed and intertwined many times.
Totally. And I hope to actually hang out behind the camera, because I would love to ask you some more questions about how you're handling this transition of yours. Yeah. It's really, must be really challenging at times, you know?
It has been. And I someday, thank you, by the way, for saying that. And someday I'll be teaching a master class on this.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate the time and the insight, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Bye.
That was Cheryl Burke, an interesting person that I have watched intimately since she began her journey on Dancing with the Stars, because our shows were so intertwined. We went to visit and be on Dancing. Obviously, a lot of people from The Bachelor, Bachelorette were on there. And so we saw them all the time. And then there were ABC events, and they would always put the reality people together. And so we got to know, you know, Maxim and the Huffs and Cheryl, and we spent a lot of time with these people. And so, you know, to know the struggles that she went through on so many levels, and to see how she's come out on the other side successfully is a miracle, but also wonderful. So my thanks to Cheryl Burke, and my thanks to you for listening once again on the Most Dramatic Podcast Ever. And I will talk to you next time, because we have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the Most Dramatic Pod Ever, and make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.